In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue to look into the family in the book of Acts. Well, this is the last. Sam, can you switch the input? This is the last session for this topic. And for this class, we will address upon one of the best examples that we find in the Bible in terms of relationship. In terms of marital relationship, especially in the book of Acts, this couple has been mentioned several times because of their action, their interaction, and their dedication to the church. So this couple of Priscilla and Aquila has been continuously mentioned as the example of marital relationship as well as a good example of holy workers that Paul continues to mention. Paul mentioned this couple a few times because they did become a great help in the ministry. Okay? So for the last class today, we will focus on this couple, and hopefully we can use them as a role model, as a module. You know, like those are as a pattern, as a module for us to keep in mind in the future, one day when you are in the right age of choosing your spouse, when you are in the right age to build up your family, when you are ready to have children, this is what you need to keep in mind, because this couple not only become a good friend of Apostle Paul, also become an important worker in the apostolic time. Also, they are definitely recorded and remembered by God. So there are a few things about this couple that we should keep in mind. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 1. Verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Verse 2, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Let's read verse, continue on. And he came to them, verse 3, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. In verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. This is the first thing that the Bible recalls about this family. As I said earlier, in the book of Acts, this family, this couple, these two husband and wife, they have been mentioned a few times. And one thing we realize that they are always, always mentioned together, side by side. When you find Aquila, you find Priscilla. When you mention Priscilla, you find Aquila. That this spouse, that they never separate from each other. They are always together. They are together in living, together at work, and together in serving the Lord. So their name were continuously being mentioned together. Also, the Bible describes that in a marital life, two shall become one. So right from the beginning, when God formed, in the beginning when the marriage relationship was formed, one very crucial point is that two shall depart from their parents and be together, and they shall become one. So what does that mean? It means that after marriage, spouse is the only soulmate that you should and you can have in the world. That you share everything, and there is nothing for you to hide or to shame, too shameful to talk about, because now two shall become one. If you find another person that you can share more, that you feel closer to, that you feel more comfortable to be with, then something is not right in this relationship. Also, we find that these two couples, they are willing, they are able to be side by side and always be mentioned together because they are willing to yield, to take a step back. Today, in our generation, we are so-called self-centered generation. Self-centered. In our generation, the relationship is always built upon how I feel, what I like, the way I want to do it. So we always expect other people to work along, and we definitely want other people to cooperate with my ideas. Okay? So this is what happened in our education, our society, and our trend of the world is to make sure that you think you are the center of the universe and you try to get everybody to follow you. But in here, we see that Priscilla and Aquila, in their marital relationship, they don't talk about you or me. They don't have like yours or mine. They talk about together, together. That's called two shall become one. In the future, in your marital life, there will be times that you need to make decision of your own possession. For example, you work, you're earning your money, okay? You have your own job, you're earning your money. And if you find that in your marital relationship that you have to always fight for mine, yours, you pay this, you pay that, then I will pay this so that we are fair and square, nobody being taken advantage upon. If this is the relationship, I can tell you that your marriage failed. It's not very healthy. It's not healthy. If you are still fighting over who is paying what, if you are still fighting over what is fair, then we have defeat or taken away the main reason or the main purpose for marriage. When God institute marriage, is talking about together. He's talking about sharing. He's talking about becoming one. It's talk about that two shall have the same dream and together walking toward their dream. Okay? So please do remember, if Priscilla and Aquila are willing to join their name in everything, that there is no reason that we should insist on mine, yours, different in your faith, in your marriage. You know that when I got married, I worked for 10 years before I got married. So yeah, I did save up some money. You know, because for all those years, I have a weird, perspective of the future that one day when I marry, I don't want my wife to worry about money. That's how I feel. I feel that, you know what, today I save up. So tomorrow, she can have a good life. Today, so I live a very stingy life before I marry. Very stingy. Seriously. You know, even going out to eat, I use company credit card. I mean, the boss okay with it though. The boss, oh, you know what, it's okay. Just use the company credit card. So, you know, I'm trying to save money. I was very stingy to myself. Hoping that one day I find my true love. The one I love, and she doesn't have to worry. I think for any man, boys. One day you will turn to a real man. You know what makes the differences between boys and real men? Boys care about themselves. Real men plan for their family. Plan for their family. So one day. So you know what? Today, how you spend money determine if you are just a little boy, immature. Spend on myself and then buying me a good jacket, a good sneaker, a good this, a good that. It's all about me. You know what? You're just a boy. But one day when you're like, oh, you know what? I got some money from my part-time job or a school internship, and I can buy this for my parents. Maybe I should get something for my siblings. Or when you are working, you say, I'm saving up for my future family. Instead of, let me spend anything, and let me spend everything, and let's just marry a rich one. Okay? That's a really lousy mentality. Very lousy. So you know what? A real man is that I save so that the future, my future one have a, can enter into this life with less worry and trouble. So you can be stingy on yourself, but you save up, not for yourself, for your future families. Oh, so that's what I did. So when we got married, I saved up for 10 years. I saved up for 10 years. So when my wife, before we married, we talk about future and we talk about work. I told my wife that once we have children, I really wish that at least for the first 3 years, do not work. I want you to take care of the children by yourself, like on your own. And then she told me, sure, I can do without job for the rest of my life. I was like, you are the one. Yeah. So you know what? When we marry, I show her all my bank account, everything, all my possessions. I transfer everything under her name. Everything. Everything I own now is under my wife's name. So she could literally kick me out and leave me homeless. Everything I own belongs to her. Because for me, it's very simple. Now we are one. If we are one, and the Bible says that husband should be willing to give your life for your wife, right? So if you can even give your life for her, why would you keep money to yourself? Oh, no, this is mine. I earned it. You spend your own. That's so sad. So sad. So, you know, after I transfer everything, I just told her that, you know, this is the deal. Everything I own is yours, except one. You have all the bank account, all the money, I keep the credit card. So I swipe, you pay. And she okayed it. She agreed. And I told her that, you know what? I swipe, you pay. If there's no money in the bank, call your mom. No, I'm just trying to tell you that in a family life, especially in a marital relationship, there shouldn't be such a strong my, yours, different, separate. You'll be very, very sad if you still emphasize so much about this is mine in a marriage. Okay? So in here, you see that the first thing we see from this couple, their name is always together because they are one. They are one physically. They are one financially. They are one livelihood. And they are one in spirit. That's called perfect couple. Okay? So you know what? Marriage or this is not marriage class. That's the next one. Okay? So families. Family take two to build. Both. Family take both husband and wife to build, to put in effort to make it happen. So in the future, even you are the one that's making money and she is the one staying home and take care of the family, do not go back like a big shot and say, hey, I pay for it. That's not healthy. It takes two to form a healthy family. So even she is not working, even you are the financial provider, doesn't give you any power over her. Because you know what? She could totally just tell you, forget it, I'm going out to find a job too. You do the dish, you do the laundry, you do the cleaning. I'm needing a job. You working, I'm working. Let's do it. And then you will be like going home with no food on the table. You will be going to work with dirty laundry, dirty clothes on your... You know, this is what happened. So mutual respect. Respect the input and effort from each other into the family. But also do remember that it takes two, both input in order to manage a good family. So for you, the financial provider, the one that's working, you do not come back and say, you know what, I give you $1,000. This is my responsibility. I spend the rest for myself. That's like so childish, immature. Because, no, I ran into a guy like that. I happened to meet a brother like that. He was a high income lawyer, making a lot of money, but he said to his wife, $1,500 is my responsibility for this family. So I give you $1,500 every month. The rest is your problem. I was like, you are so sick. I told the brothers, something's wrong with your mind. This is your family whom you should be willing to die for. Deborah, calm down. Not all brothers are like that. They are decent ones. They are decent ones that will give you $2,000, okay? So you know what? This is what we are talking about. A family, it takes two to input in order to form a healthy relationship. I was reading Business Week. Is it Business Week? They did an analysis. They say, never underestimate or never look down or talk down to the one that's staying at home as a housewife or taking care of the house. And they did the analysis that if you want to find someone who do everything a mother do at home, bearing children, feeding them, taking care of them, changing diaper, cleaning the house, doing cooking, you are looking at $180,000 a year. If you want to hire someone to do everything that a wife do, if it's a housewife or house husband. If you are looking for someone who will do everything that the spouse does at home, you are looking at $180,000 a year to hire someone. So you know what? After I read the article and I shared with my wife, now she's like, I think you still owe me something. Yeah, she's like, oh, I think you still owe me quite a lot of money, huh? $180,000 a year. How much have you paid me so far? You know what? This is something to keep in mind. It takes two to both put in effort to build a family. It could be internal, it could be external, it could be you working for financial, it could be the one that stay at home and make the house clean and ready for the family. Okay? Both are very crucial. Both are needed. And both are valuable. Okay? So this is the first thing that we find that their name is always mentioned together. So brother and sister, please do remember in your marital life, in the future, family always stay together. What is that thing? The little stitch. Like, Vivian?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it.
You're saying it, please.
It was like Ohana means family.
And then?
Too
much cartoon for you, Jamin. Yeah, family means that no one gets to left behind. I think that's a very important for you to keep in mind. Same thing in spouse, in parental, with children. No one gets left behind. That's a good example that Priscilla and Aquila left for us. Okay? Always together. Wherever they go, name are mentioned together. Okay? Second, 18:18. Let's turn to 18:18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took... 18:18. Where is the guy? Apollo. Oh, 18:24. 24 to 28. Well, 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. Verse 25. No, sorry. It's 18. He's talking about Paul stay with them. Huh? Priscilla and Aquila accompany him. Verse 18:18. That they sailed to Syria and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And then they cut his head. So in here, the second thing that he mentioned, that they... when Paul was traveling, they took Paul in, both to live together and also to work together because they are all tent makers, making tents to sell for a livelihood. And so the second thing that we see, that they are willing to take Paul and later take Apollos into their family, into their life, so that this couple can take care of them. So the second thing that we learn in here, a strong, godly family not only about the family members, but at the same time, it's also about willing to give more, even if it's inconvenient. That's called true hospitality. Okay? Usually, nowadays, we do things in our convenience, even our faith. Even nowadays, faith is about convenience. If I have time, I go. If I have nothing else to do, I do holy work. Oh, this is, it's all about if I have time, if I want to, if I have energy, if I don't have anything else to do, if. It's all about how I feel and what I want. That's called convenience. So nowadays, the people facing faith is all about if it's convenient to me. And young people, when they participate in holy work, it's the same. Is it convenient for me? But true believer, we don't talk about convenience. We talk about sacrifice. We talk about willing to put out the price, even if it's inconvenient for me. In New York, you know that there are many members in here. They work very long hour job. Some of them, they have to work like 10 hours in high intensive laboring job. But some of them, after working for whole day, then they rush 2 hours on the subway, rushing to the church, even very tired and hungry, haven't eaten much for whole day. They came to church, ate something, ate something. They came here. Sometimes they are able to attend the service. Sometimes if there's a delay on the subway, they can only catch the final prayer. But they still do that. Every Wednesday, they come long hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hour, come here, attend the service, and then take 2 more hours home. And then they eat dinner at 10, 11, after a long day of working. And sometimes you wonder why. Why are they willing to do that? So inconvenient for them. But for them, worshiping God is never about my convenience. It's about my desire to draw near to God. So for you, it might seem very dreadful. For them, it's a happy moment when they enter into the church. For you, you might feel, hey, you waste your time. 3 and 4 hours back and forth, you only catch one prayer. For them, able to catch one prayer, thank God, so happy. So on the way home, they'll be singing hymns in their heart on the way home. That's the differences. People, if they only care about their convenience, they only harvest the surface, very shallow experience with God. People who are willing to take the extra step for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of love, they are able to truly immerse in the power of God that they are able to see. So, second thing that we see here is that this couple, you know, that family could be very secluded, very private, right? Nowadays, we like to talk about privacy, right? You know what? When you talk to me, don't get too close. Privacy, space. This is space, okay? And you told your parents, in the room, do not enter my room without my permission. So you lock your room and stuff, right? Funny. Who paid for that? Did you pay a dime? Honestly speaking, you have no right to talk about privacy. Not even human rights. Because everything you have is given, provided you pay nothing for it. You can only be thankful. That's the only thing. You are receiving a free gift, and the only thing you can do is be thankful instead of, this is my right. I should have this. You should have nothing. Nothing you ever work for. And you were like, oh, but I do dishes. Try to go and find a washing dishes job in the restaurant and see how much they pay you. They'll just feed you. You work for food. Okay? So, you know what? Nowadays, we really emphasize on my privacy. Never enter my room. Don't touch my stuff. Oh, those kind of things. Huh? For me, it's really ridiculous. Until one day, when you pay your own bill. Yeah, let's talk about privacy. But other than that, in the family, it's very secluded. It's very private. However, having some stranger in the house is very inconvenient. Uncomfortable. but they are willing to go through that uncomfortableness to receive Paul and Apollos. So the second thing that we see in this great family, very loving family, that for them, loving God is never about how convenient it is for them. Showing hospitality is never about how convenient it is for them. That's called extra mile. Extra mile. And usually it's this extra mile that really earns you the respect from God and earn you blessing from God. For example, when they were by the Jordan River, the Lord said to Moses, told the priest to step into the water. And the Bible described that it was over flooded, which is dangerous. You step in there, the water might rush you away, you might die. Okay? So the Lord made a very simple instruction. Tell the priest to step into it. But if you were the priest that carried the Ark of Covenant, you're like, no, tell someone else to do it. Or Moses, divide the Red Sea first. You know what? Sometimes we don't want to take that extra step. We don't want to take any risk. That's why our experience with God is always very limited, because unwilling to sacrifice and unable to trust in God. But for those priests, when they receive the instruction is you go into the center of the river, you stand there, and then the Lord will part the river. Okay, that's the instruction. So for them, it's very simple. If the Lord says so, we do so. And the moment when they step into the river, immediately the river parted. It's different than the instruction from God. It's different. Original instruction is the Lord said, you have to walk inside. Everybody walk inside and stand still, which is much, much higher risk. But the Lord has compassion and mercy. The Lord only wants you to take that one step, and he will just do everything, do the rest for you. Even the Lord wants, originally the Lord said, enter, stand in the river. But the moment when they say, I will do it, and step, only the first step, when they step into the river, and immediately the water parted. So you want to experience God in your faith. You want to find blessing in your life. You want to build up a healthy and godly family. You have to be willing to take an extra mile for the sake of the Lord, showing more love and endurance for the sake of the Lord. Okay? So that's the second thing that we find in here. Number 3, chapter 18, verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So this is the third recording about this couple. Now the Bible described that they found a young man named Apollo, who are very eloquent, very gifted, eloquent, but know very little about the salvation of Jesus Christ. He knew very well about scriptures, Old Testaments. So he was very well versed in the Old Testament. But he knew little about the plan, the salvation, and Jesus. Knew very little about Jesus Christ. So here, Aquila and Priscilla took him in and spent time and effort to educate him, so that he was able to fully understand, wow, so this is the plan of salvation. And because of that, later Apollo become one of the greatest worker that was mentioned in the apostolic time. His name was mentioned. So you know that they are in 1 Corinthians, they mention that people say, we are Paul's disciple. And people say, we are Peter, Cephas. We are Peter's disciple. And there are people say, we are Apollo's disciple. So can you see that he was as important, listed as important as Paul and Peter. So he was considered one of the very crucial, important worker in that generation. But from where? From the training of Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla, they saw this young man, gifted young man who could be trained for the sake of the church, for the sake of holy work, who has the potential to be a pillar to serve for the Lord. So they spent the effort, they took the time to educate him. Number three, we talk about religious education. We talk about planning worker for the future generation with visions, able to see what the church needs, able to see who has the true heart that want to work for God. Okay? So this is the third thing that we need to learn. In the future, when you have family, when you have your own children, please do train them, educate them, so that they can serve for the Lord. Nowadays, many families, they care, especially in Asia, Asian family. Asian family, we care so much about grade, school, you have bachelor, they want master, you have master, they want PhD, you got PhD, they want double PhD. That's Asian thinking. Seriously. Someone told me that PhD stands for permanent head damage. Something like that. That there was a PhD, member told me that. Permanent head damage. I'm not saying education is no good. I'm not saying that. You need to study hard because that's your job as a student. But I think Pastor Huang mentioned today, after your first job, nobody really care what school you came from. Seriously, because I work as a human resource manager for a few years, we don't look at your GPA. We don't. Maybe the first job. The first job, because you have nothing to show, right? On your resume, blank, 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 blank. Only school, GPA, extracurricular. Oh, I play badminton. Like we care. You know that on your resume, never write, I speak English. Don't do that. That's very embarrassing. Don't do that. If you don't know how to write resume, please consult someone who does, okay? Because sometimes when we, every day we receive sometimes even hundreds of resumes. And most of them just go to the trash bin right away. Seriously, that's what we do. Because there is no way for me to go through 200 resumes a day just to find a good one. We don't. So what do? We flip it very fast. Anything that looks very ugly, which means that the structure is not very well patterned, the wording is very it's all squeezing together, like little words, very, very condensed. Everything, all those goes to the garbage can. We don't care about your detailed life. We want to see that if you can even write a nice looking resume. If you can, it goes to the garbage can right away. So you need more info, you can ask me too. Yeah, I'm telling you that not so many people that we find that they want to squeeze every part of their life into their resume. But you can only do one page. Remember, you can only do one page on your resume. Never go to the second page unless you are super experienced high-end managers. Otherwise, one page. And this one page cannot be very crowded. Very crowded. If it makes me uncomfortable when I read it, it goes to the trash can right away. That's what we do. That's how we go through 200 in like 10 minutes. So after that, any ugly one goes to the trash can already. The second thing is we look at abnormalcy. If there's anything abnormal, weird, abnormal, which is abnormal, which is that maybe you take 6 years to finish high school, it goes to the garbage can. If you don't have college degree, it goes to garbage can. If you have a lot of hopping in your career experience, you know, you work here for 3 months, 6 months there, 5 months there, 3 months there, it goes to a garbage can. We don't like hopper. Like hopping. We don't. Unless you are first year. If you are newly graduated from college, first year, we are okay with it. Second year, no more than 3, we can bear. After that, if you hop, we throw it to the garbage can. Because that tells us that you are unstable. So, let me tell you that in the reality, outside in the real world, outside in the real world, your GPA is not as important as you think. But that doesn't mean that you should have a lousy GPA. What we are saying is, in the future, what determines your success is not just your school or GPA. It's about if you know how to communicate. If you have a good temper that you are able to work in the team spirit. If you have integrity that you can uphold what is right with a backbone, you are able to uphold what is right. Number four, if you have the wisdom to utilize the resources that you have, time, network, or people, time, network, and resources, if you are able to manage them, if you do, hey, you are the smartest in the company. It's not about what school you graduate from. Throughout the years I work as human resource, I lay off many PhD. They are very difficult to use. Very difficult. So I'm not telling you don't go for PhD. I'm just telling you that there are something beyond just the textbook, beyond just the knowledge that you learn in the class, that's more important in your life. So nowadays in Asian family, we care so much about school. You go to best school, you get the highest GPA, and then you have a good career, you are successful, get a lot of money, and then you marry, build your family. You know, that's the pattern that we want our children to see. But let me tell you one thing, one real, real thing in the real life is that without provision for God and without opportunity from God, you go nowhere. You go nowhere. When I was working, that I was competing with people graduate from Ivy League. They have bachelor. I only graduated from college as having a bachelor degree. And they have master. Some of them have PhD. But I get a job. Why? TJC member. Seriously, that's the only reason. That's the only reason I'm able to get a job. Not because the interviewer see, oh, TJC member. No. I'm saying that because God want to give it to me, so I have it. That's it. In my career life, I got many promotions very fast. And I was able to go from entry clerk. I was in the beginning as an office entry clerk. I carry water bottle. I do all the things. I clean. You know that even there was my first job, I have to clean the toilet. Can you imagine that? Can you do that? I didn't enter the company for that, but I was told to do that. And at first I thought, well, are you kidding me? No, I'm not doing it. And then I start doing it, and because and the thing is, the longer I clean the restaurant, the longer it takes. Because I realize they are paying me quite good money for me to clean the bathroom. And I don't have to be outside taking phone calls being yelled by the customer. I don't have to deal with all the paperwork from the custom. I don't have to worry about shipping out all the orders on time. I can just stay in the bathroom. So I was in the bath in the beginning. It's like, you know, because they asked all the office clerk to clean the bathroom. It's a big facility. And then they realized it took me like 40 minutes. I just wouldn't come out. I was just like, you know, take my sweet time slowly. I'm getting paid for this anyway. So, you know, it's a changing of mentality. If you are able to have a very comfortable mentality, a very, I don't know how to describe it. Your mentality, you know that we say that your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. It's a very true saying. That's a very true saying. So, brothers and sisters, in the future, that your career path is not really determined by your GPA. But it's determined on if God is willing to give you good opportunity. That's it. If God opened the door, you know that in the office, sometimes there were times that in the office I was the lowest in education. Lowest in education, but I'm the highest in ranking. I have a CPA who is like like the like certified accounting, da da da, high big shot. I have a CPA coming to my office and pounding on my table. She was very angry. I was only 24. She was 40 something. And she's like, why? Why are you my supervisor? I am CPA. You. I was like, yeah, you're a CPA and you're a 40 something. And why am I your supervisor? I don't really know. You have to ask the boss. By the way, you are fired. I let her go on the spot. I just fired her on the spot. So, yeah, I was very mean. I'm sorry. That was before I joined TTP. And prayer does change a person's heart. I try to be nicer and mellow, okay? Right, Deborah? Nicer, nicer, It's a relative term, okay? So you know what? I'm telling you, it's all about opportunities. I was the lowest in education in the whole office. I was youngest in the whole office. But the Lord wants to grant opportunity to his children. So there I was. I'm telling you, it's the same for you. You should study hard because that's called sense of responsibility. You should try your best because that's how you show the world that Christian works hard for the sake of God. But that's not what you rely upon. You build your career, you build your family only upon one thing, is opportunity. And according to the book of Ecclesiastes, according to Ecclesiastes, that opportunity, time, and chance is only in God's hand. Please do keep that in mind. Okay? So, in here we see that Priscilla and Aquila, they are training younger generation for the sake of the Lord. So, you are the younger generation. You should be trained with a greater vision, a greater purpose. You should be trained not only with a small, small dream that one day I will make a lot of money. That's a very small dream. You should have a dream like Apostle Paul. One day I will be great for the sake of the Lord. I will go and preach the gospel in where the gospel will never hurt. I will do something with my life so it means so much to God. You know that every time when I read about the life of King David, it really moved me. Especially the part that after he died, he passed away. And Solomon built the holy temple. And after he built the holy temple, he made a very, very lengthy prayer, long prayer. Oh, Lord, we shall worship you. If people see you, we come here to pray. Da, 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 da. He made such a lengthy, lengthy prayer and nothing. Only until he speaks so long, his mouth so dry, he doesn't know how to continue. At last, he said, Lord, remember my father David. That's the moment the Bible described the glory of the light shine and fill the whole temple. Every time when I read that, it really moved me because it just feels that the closeness with David and God, even after he passed on, he died, he passed away, when the name was mentioned, God remembered. That's how close they are. How intimate that kind of relationship is. So in the entire life of David, God planned everything for him. Even after he died, God still remembered him. That's a good life. That's a good life. That's a worthy life. So brothers and sisters, at the end of your journey, what is the worth of your life? Good career. You know what? When you turn 75, you wouldn't really care that much about the career that you have. When you turn 85, you wouldn't really care about how much money that you have. When you turn 95, you probably won't think of anything. Like, you won't be able to think too much. So you know what? All those are temporal. I'm not diminishing their value. They do have value. But those value become smaller and smaller as you get older and older. However, your relationship with God and what you have done for Him in your life will become greater and greater as you get older and older, because you know that the day for you to receive your reward is close. Okay? So, Priscilla Aquila, they care about training young generation. You are the young generation. You should care about how you train yourself, how you invest your time, how you make your life meaningful and valuable, even at this age. And one day when you grow up, you have your family, you have your children. Remember, train your children to be worthy in the eyes of the Lord. So you know that my wife and I, we have a very simple dream for our children. We have a daughter and a son. They are still young. One is 7, one is 5. But we have planned for their future already. And our planning is very simple. Very simple. I only have two things. I told, you know, my wife and I, we both agree. There were only two things that we want to see in their life. Number one, they need to play piano. To the point that they can play hymns. They can play hymns for the church. That's the only thing we want. My wife is a piano teacher. So the only thing I ask her is, save me money from finding a teacher. You can teach her yourself, but she must be able to play hymns for the church. Second, they must be good in Chinese so that they can translate. I have no other requirement for my children. If they go to good school, so be it. They go to good school. If they can get scholarship, they can go. If not, community college, not so bad. It's all about if you are earning God's honor, if you are earning God's help. If not, you can go to the best school and still end up nowhere. So I only have these two dreams for my children. And this is the only two things we will ever ask them. Play him for the church. Translate for the church. No more. Nothing else. Nothing else. Everything I believe, because I firmly believe that when they have God in their life, they have everything. Just like when Solomon in his dream said, I pray for wisdom. The Lord said, good, longevity, wealth, and everything shall be given unto you. When you are able to find favor in the eyes of the Lord, you find everything else in your life. Keep that in mind. So that's the only two things I need or I ask, I demand from my children, because I still remember there was once, many, many years ago when we first came to New York. It was a heavy, snowy day. And there were only one or two members show up for the evening service and my family. So on that night, my sister was playing piano. My mother was leading hymns. My father doing the sermon. And I was translating for one member. I think there's only one member sitting down there. But at the same time, when I look around, I say, this is the family I want to have. Everyone is useful in the eyes of the Lord. I think that's a blessing. It's a blessing for me, for my family, for my parents. It's more than enough for them. And if my children one day can do the same, that my wife play piano, my daughter leading hymns, I'm standing up there and my son translate for me. For me, that will be the best, the most beautiful moment in my life. How about for you? That's on your time, pray one call.